And I just tell you, Jesus is the best lover of our soul than anybody. When you're with him, you just feel good. You know, I remember when I had my first date with Esther. How exciting that was. You remember the first date? No? Some of you didn't have those, did you? You've forgotten, it's been a long time. Remember the first time I gave my life to Jesus. I love Esther more today than I did on that first date. And I love Jesus more. I want to encourage you today, love Jesus like you've never loved him before. He's the best friend you've ever had. Thanks, team. Great, you've done a fab job. We were supposed to be having a worship team come in today, and they've got COVID. And Joshua was supposed to preach, and he's not very well. So it's me today, again. I'll just move those. Thank you. You haven't heard what I'm going to say yet. So this is a message that I sort of worked on yesterday. I normally have a lot of preparation, so I will hopefully be led by God's Spirit. That's what I want today, to be led by God's Spirit. We look at a scripture. You'll all know this scripture really, really, really well. Could we put it up, Martin? It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 7. This is the story of Mary and Joseph. I know we're not quite in the Christmas season yet, although we are. People are thinking about Christmas, but not necessarily about Jesus. So Mary and Joseph, they've travelled 100 miles to Bethlehem. It's been a bit of a journey. No aeroplane, no special train built by the government straight from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And we have this beautiful scripture. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them in the inn. No room for the King of Kings, the Son of God. If they knew who he was, they'd probably be lining up. They'd kick out everybody else out of their rooms and say, come to my place. I remember August bank holiday. My children were quite young. And I decided that we would go on holiday to Poole. And in my wisdom, I decided that I wasn't going to pre-book on an August bank holiday. And we got in the car, we loaded the car. We had a bit of a journey to Poole, to say the least. When we got there, there was no on internet that told us where there were B&Bs and vacancies, like you can do now. Airbnb, you couldn't book in advance. Luma's good at booking advance in Airbnb. But they didn't have them in those days. In my day, you weren't even thought of them. Oh, yes, you probably were. Yes, of course, because I'd got children. And we get to Poole, we're tired, fed up, two young children, we want to find somewhere, and I drive down this road, and it goes, no vacancies. So I drive down the next road, it goes, no vacancies. And I go throughout Poole, driving round Poole, looking for somewhere to stay, and everything says, no vacancies. I cried out to God, God, please save me from the wrath of my wife. And he answered my prayer. And we got to this B&B accommodation, which was pretty average, pretty poor, and very expensive. I never did that again. There was no room for the Baker family in Poole. Mary and Joseph had a much more difficult situation, And even though Joseph wasn't the physical father of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was, I think he probably worried when this young wife of his, she was a young lady, younger than you, get to Bethlehem and he's going from place to place and there's nowhere for him to go. There's nowhere for this girl that he's madly in love with. He's worried about her. She's due to give birth. There's no way for her to go. There was no room in the inn for Jesus. Fortunately, there was a manger, and she was able to give birth there. Can you imagine that? The King of Kings, God's son, born not in a palace, but in a horrible, smelly, not very clean place. I'm sure midwives today would be very, very concerned if a child was born in those situations. I want to say today, there are many people in this season that don't have room for Jesus. They have an imaginary sign that says, I'll have all the festivities, but I don't want the reason for the season. There's no place for Jesus here. And today we are in situations where many people say that. I want to say to you, you may not know Jesus or you may be far away from Jesus. I want to ask you this question. Is there room for Jesus in your life today? Will you make room for Jesus in your life today? What better time than Christmas time than to receive God's blessing, God's amazing gift for you today? This is the best time in the whole of your life for you to receive that. Two ladies were having lunch together, quite well-to-do ladies in a very posh restaurant, and they were enjoying themselves. And walking past is one of their friends, and she notices in the window that these ladies are enjoying themselves. She goes and she says, hi, what's the celebration? They go, oh, it's great. We're celebrating the birth of our two-year-old son. Oh, that's good. And she looks around. She goes, I'm a bit confused. Where's your son? Oh, we've not brought him. We've left him with the mother so we can just enjoy the celebration of our son together, because it'd be no fun if he was here now, would it? Isn't that a strange situation? True story. Celebrating the birth of a son who's not there, not wanted, not wanting to be there in case he ruins the day. Quite a strange story, but we live in strange times. That's no different today when people celebrate Christmas. They celebrate the season, but not the reason for the season. They don't want Jesus, the Son, to be part of it. Happy for him to be over there in church at Oasis Christian Centre on a Sunday morning. Happy to be in different places, but actually not at Christmas. Surely we don't want Jesus at Christmas. There's no room for Jesus here. Madness. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, we read that an angel comes to both Mary and Joseph, and the angel declares that this baby that is going to be born is a baby that is going to save the world. He's going to be the saviour of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And we sing carols. Now, I know in this room there are certain people that don't like singing carols. If Joshua's here now, I'll be looking at Joshua. He's not a carol person. But for my generation, and probably around about my generation above, we love carols, don't we? Say yes. Did you hear that, Luma? We love carols. And there's a carol that's written, is Christ the Saviour is Born. Should we sing it together? Christ the Saviour is born. Can we do it again? We need a choir. Christ the Saviour is born. What a lovely carol that is, that tells us about the Saviour of the world. And you will hear this carol being played quite a lot, even in our shopping centres. But you know, Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger. Oh, isn't he lovely? Isn't he beautiful? Jesus, 2,000 years later, is a man who's given his life on a cross, who now sits with the Father at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us. He's not little Jesus, gentle, meek and mild. Jesus is the one that gave his life for us on a cross. In America, in the World War II, there became a custom for the Americans who had military that were serving abroad or fighting in the war in the winter time, in Christmas time, to hang stars in their windows. And they would hang stars. It wouldn't be a star like this. I chose this one because of wood, and I'll explain to you why I did that later. But if there was a family and their son was serving abroad, they would put stars in their window for everybody to know that they have a son serving in the forces. However, if they had a son that had died, they would put a gold star in their window. So everybody that walked past would know that that family has lost a son, that their son has given their life for their country. And so people knew, you didn't have to tell people they'd lost a son at Christmas. You just walked past and you went, that family has lost a son. Sir Harry Lauder told a story about a man with a little child. And he's walking through the streets of New York and he takes the child by the hand and he's walking through the city. And what happens is the little boy says, Daddy, what are the stars in the windows for? So the father explains, as I've just explained to you. He says, Daddy, why does that house have a gold star? And the father explains to the little boy that what has happened is that their boy has died serving the country. Oh, the little boy says. Little boy takes the hand of his father and he walks down the street and he stops every time he comes to a gold star. He says, Daddy, that family, their son has died for the country. He goes, that's right, son. He then comes to an opening where there are no houses and there's a big expanse of sky. And he looks up at the sky and he sees a really bright star. And the little boy is puzzled and he looks to his father and he says, Daddy, is this the window of heaven? Is this where God gave his son to die too? Well, little boy, have an understanding as he looks to the stars, sees the most bright star, and said, God gave his son too. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, you may not know this scripture, but for most people they will know that. But have we got it to put up, Martin? Just in case we don't know it. If we know it, can we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because of God's love for us, he gave us his only begotten son. He sent his son to die in our place, not just for one country, not for one nation, but for the whole world. The American families and their neighbours, the gold star, reminded them of the sacrificial death of their son who gave their life for the country. Today, the cross reminds us of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Another story I'd like to read about World War II. I'm sorry if this sounds depressing, but this is a true story. And it's quite a bizarre story because in the world we live, how many of us know we live in strange times? Things don't add up, don't make sense. What was once pretty common sense now, we look and turn our televisions on and we think, what's going on? Don't understand. World War II, there's a war, there's the Germans on the one side, there's the Americans on the other, and they are shooting at each other and killing each other as people do in a war situation. On Christmas Eve, there's going to be a truce, and they all know that when the flare is fired into the sky, they all stop firing. No one shoots, no one does anything. They just have a short period of time where there is peace. And just before that flare goes up, this is a true story. There's an American that has just about to detonate an explosion ahead of him. And it is to obviously kill the Germans that are attacking him. He goes to push the plunger and the flare goes and he stops what he's doing. This is a true story. There is silence. And just a few yards in front of him, he hears a German singing Silent Night, Holy Night. I was going to say in German then, which is Stillige Nacht, Heilige Nacht, Nicht, something like that. And he hears this voice singing and he realizes straight away that it is his music teacher from Munich, John Lieber. He recognizes the voice, even from the first line of Silent Night. And he starts to join in on the second stanza. John Lieber hears his friend's voice, who's on the opposite side, and there's a break in his voice, and then he starts to sing again. And through the whole night, they sing carols in English and German. And for a period of time, there is peace in their life. Just for a few hours. And then the flare is fired. Dawn comes. The American goes to his detonator, presses the detonator. The people in front of him are killed, including his friend, who was his music teacher, John Lieber. We live in a world that is so mixed up. We live in a difficult situation today where so many things are happening around us. We do not know what to do and what makes sense anymore. It is a challenge for us, and things are not going to get easier. I think that most people like singing Christmas carols. People that would normally never open a hymn book. And this is why this Christmas time we have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus. It's a small window where we hang the gold star for people to realise. People love to sing carols. I'm going to tell you a true story. When I was in IT, we used to have the Christmas party. Oh, I hated the Christmas party. There was so much alcohol. I'm not opposed to drinking, please don't get me wrong, but my team used to drink a lot of alcohol. There was one guy in particular, I won't give you his name, but he used to mock me because I was a Christian, because I love Jesus. He used to tell me a religious joke every day just to try and wind me up. He was very hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He used to make fun of me, mock me, all kinds of stuff. I didn't mind. I don't mind now. If people want to do that, it's up to them. Anyway, our Christmas party, they're all having a drink. Not just one, not just two. And they're all around the bar enjoying themselves. They're quite loud. A little bit like if you're a football team, but not like on church on Sunday morning, if you know what I mean. Very quiet here. And so they're all laughing and joking. And then on the music in the background in this hotel that we're all hired at, they start singing carols. And he's there laughing. He's looking at me, giving me this, you know. And they start singing Silent Night, Holy Night. Now, remember, they've had a few to drink now. So they're all joining in and they're swaying. Silent Night, isn't it lovely? Holy Night. This lad who's hardened to the gospel starts to cry. I tell what's happened in his life. No one knows. I know because he's told me. That week, his wife's left him with a small child. She's fed up with the relationship. He wasn't a nice guy. Bit of a womanizer. Smoker, drinker. Perhaps a bit. His language wasn't particularly good. That week, his wife had decided to leave him at Christmas with their little girl. He starts to cry. God touches him through a carol, even though he's drunk. And he's singing. These are the words as the tears are rolling down his eyes. Christ the Saviour is born. He's singing these words. He doesn't even know what he's singing. And the presence of God comes and meets him where he is and starts to touch his heart. Now, I'd like to say to you, he gave his life to Jesus there and then. He didn't. I don't know if he has or if he will, but I do believe that God is on his case. Do you want me to say that, you know, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace? Maybe not explaining this very well in this illustration. But the peace of God came upon him and gave him the opportunity to change. Let's look at the story of the shepherds for a minute. Actually, before we do, We'll come to the shepherds in a minute. At Christmas time, we all like to decorate trees. Who likes to decorate our Christmas trees? Who has a tradition at home of decorating Christmas trees and enjoying them? Anybody not? Anybody need counselling? People spend so much time decorating the tree, putting the tinsel on, the lights. And then what do they put under the tree? Presents. It's a focal point, isn't it? Presents. When you were a kid, did you always wonder what was under the Christmas tree for you? Did you ever sneak down at night? Go on, own up. You couldn't wait to open those presents in the morning. We spend a lot of time lighting up Christmas trees. Redditch, don't know if it had one this year, has a light tree festival where they light up the trees and everybody celebrates that. We have a walk through Christmas tree at the St. Stephen's that you can go and have a look at night. It's very pretty. But I want to talk to you today about a tree that is forgotten at Christmas. It's a forgotten tree that no one really wants to talk about, although Jerry talked about it today. It's a rugged tree. It's called the cross. And many people overlook the purpose of the cross at Christmas. They look about a little baby that's born, beautiful little baby. But they overlook the purpose of Christmas, which is the cross. No, that's Easter, isn't it? No, the purpose of Christmas is the death of Jesus. For he will come to save people from their sins. There's no tinsel, there's no lights, but there is one thing on this cross, one present. One present in his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. One present that is a gift from God the Father because he so loved us that he would send his only son, and his name is Jesus. And the present has a little label on it. And the label says, with love from Jesus. With love from Jesus. And it's written in something very unique, with Jesus' own blood. You see, today we've all got a unique blood sample and a unique DNA. Do you know that? Don't do anything wrong and get your blood taken, because they'll catch you, as they did with that man the other day, that rapist, 40 years on, who thought he got away with it. We don't get away with things, by the way. God knows exactly what happens in our life. But Jesus writes on the cross, gift from me to you with love, with his blood, own personal blood on it. And if we were to do a DNA sample, we would find that it only belongs to Jesus. Only one gift for you this Christmas, I'm sorry, that's of any value. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus comes, not as a baby, now, 30 years on. He comes and he's nailed to this cruel cross. He's hung on a cross for the sins of the whole world. The pain of the cross is bad enough. Horrific death. That's bad enough. To die on a cross is bad enough. But to have the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, crucified on that cross with him. Everything you've ever done, every mistake, every thought, every action for all mankind is nailed to Jesus on that cross. Jesus has another sign this time that says paid in full. Paid in full. But if that's not bad enough, he who was without no sin, Jesus had no sin in his life, he was perfect, now has to carry our sin and the terrible revulsion of having to carry our sin. Jesus does that. And if that's not enough, if that isn't enough, he carries then the anger of God, what they call the wrath of God, upon him. The whole anger of God for every person's sin in the past and in the future. The whole anger of God the Father was placed upon the Son. And Jesus, for the first time ever, is separated from the Father because of you and I. today. That's love. If we want to know what love is, that's love. Isn't that true? And do you know why he did that? So you and I could be free from our sins and know peace in every situation. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to die on the cross and you'll never have a problem again. What he says was, I'll give you peace because I'm the Prince of Peace. And if you've not got peace in your life today, you need Jesus to come and give you peace. This is not the kind of tree that we were thought you were going to talk about today, Robin. But it is the tree of Christmas. And when you decorate your tree, if you do, apart from Kate, when you put the tinsel on the tree, when you think about those nice presents, think about this tree. That's why I chose my star out of wood, to remind us of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, how he carried his cross for us. And the Star of Bethlehem, that was to show the kings where Jesus was also the star that the Father said, this is my Son, whom I'm giving to you because I love you, to pay for your sins. Shepherds, you know the story of the shepherds, don't we? Angel appears, bam. And then all these other angels appear. Wow, I'd have loved to be there, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that have been great? Or would we be a bit frightened? I think we'd probably be a bit frightened, especially Simon. He'd have been frightened, wouldn't you, Simon? Angel says, go and find the Son of God. Go and find this promised Messiah. They go and find him. Now, they're living in days of great tyranny. These shepherds had a hard life. These Romans that ruled them with a rod of iron. Their women got raped. Their children were sold into slavery. They were just beaten and punched when the soldiers were drunk and just needed to pick on somebody. Their life was not easy. They go, they find Jesus. And this is what it says. Can we put the scripture up, Martin? After the shepherds had found Jesus, they returned glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Had their situation changed? Had the birth of Jesus Christ got rid of these Romans? No. Had it made them more wealthier? No. Did it mean their life was going to be more comfortable? No. What it meant is, in their world, which was mad, which was an awful place to live, they went away with something, which was the peace of God, the Prince of Peace. They went away knowing that they'd met the Saviour of the world, and even though their world had not changed externally, their world in here had. And can I say to us as a church, things are not going to get easier for us over the years. Life isn't going to be much easier. In fact, it's probably going to get harder. It's going to get harder for the church. But we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding, because he's the Prince of Peace. And if you're not at peace, if you do not have peace in your life, if you have something empty and missing in your life, there is only one person that can give you what you need. And his name is Jesus. And only he, the Prince of Peace, can give you peace and purpose. We have to bow the knee. We have to come to Jesus' feet, like the shepherds, like the kings. Bow down, surrender our lives to him. We have to deny ourselves, our own plans, our own genders. We have to acknowledge that he is king. We have to acknowledge that we've sinned. We have to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We have to surrender everything to him. It costs us everything to follow Jesus. Everything. But as I keep saying, the benefits are out of this world. Out of this world. Life's about choices. You have a choice, I have a choice today. My friend had a choice. The presence of God came upon him, and He felt the peace of God. He said to me, Robin, something is happening and I don't understand it. Even in the midst of this, I feel peace. You can go today being exactly the same as when you came in. Or you can go with the living God living inside you, giving you a hope and a future and peace. Do you want it? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, he's not a little baby anymore, he's a grown man. He's at the right hand of the Father and he's waiting for you today. Will you surrender your life to him? Luma, could you come and play and worship team? I'll tell you what happens when you surrender your life to Jesus. And it may be that some of us in this room have taken a lot of where we gave Jesus our whole life, we've taken some of that back. And we're not at peace. It's possible you can be a Christian and not at peace today. So a word to someone here from God is that you've tried to do it your own way and you've even said to God, I'm going to do it my way and I don't care what people think. In fact, God, I'm still going to do it my way. I want to say to you, if you continue on that path of doing it your own way, you will not be at peace. And your life will be an even bigger mess than it is now. You can't do it your own way. This is the way. Jesus had to pay the price through the cross. There is only one way to the Father. That is through Jesus Christ. Will you choose today, Jesus? Will you choose today the gift that he's given you? You might say, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. But are you at peace right now? If you're not, you need to surrender again and ask Jesus to be peace, give you peace. This was not a message I planned to preach at all. But I think in this room, if we could just close our eyes for a minute. I want to give you the opportunity. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, we're not going to embarrass you. But if you want to do that, and if you're at home, you can connect with the people online. There's a prayer button. If you're online, you can connect with those people and they'll be waiting and they'll pray with you. Or if you're on YouTube, you can connect with us, robin@oasisredditch.church. We'll connect with you. If there's anybody in the room that wants to do that, would you place your hand in the air? I'm looking around now. I know you can't put your hand up at home, but you might want to do that if you're doing that. Anybody not at peace that need peace at the moment? Anybody struggling and not peace? Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for responding. Anybody else as I look around? Thank you. Seeing that hand now, you can put that down. Thank you. I want you to leave today with the peace of God. Well, you've got something inside, you know he's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. It's not going to be easy, I know. I'm not going to promise life's going to be easy tomorrow. Or today even. But he's going to give you peace. Father, I just thank you for those that have been listening today, that respond in whichever way. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Christmas message, which is not about tinsel and lights, but it's about the cross of Jesus Christ and the birth of his Son, who gave his life. So, Lord, I pray for every person that knows you and loves you today, that they will have a fresh impartation of your Spirit now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll just minister to them now. Your arms will be strong around them. I receive your presence and your peace now. And this Christmas time will be a Christmas like no other. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you.